name, young and old. Did you like that? Oh, man. On the end of that hymn there, I did. It's not a normal chord, what we're used to it and all that. But, oh, man. Bless you. Why don't we begin with a prayer? Dear Father, thank you again for your mercy, your holiness, your greatness, and your thoughts toward us, like the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. Thank you, God, for visiting us, dear God. We shouldn't say anything, seeing your greatness and your love and mercy to us, your wayward creation. Father, so we flee back to you and we desire to be close to you and know you as Father. Bless us that this Lord's Day would help us to that, and we might be edified and growing closer to your kingdom. Pray for Brother Jason this morning. Others who may not be here, those who might be a little sick, ask your mercy upon each one. Bless the brethren in other parts of the world. Amen. All right. Well, Tobit. What happened in the last lesson? About looking, do you remember? That's right. Angel revealed himself to them. What was the angel's name? Who was the angel?
Raphael.
Okay. That's just a little pop quiz, okay? Okay. Angel. Okay, I don't remember how that was pronounced. I mean, I spelled it, but something like that. Raphael. Anyway, who is the main character of the whole story?
Tobit.
Tobit, of course. Tobit. His son?
Tobias.
Tobit's wife. You can't get it, I'm going to have to ask the elder.
Anna.
Or Anna. Okay, Tobias goes with Raphael, the angel, to what place? Yeah, that's my favorite place name in the whole book, Rages of Media. Remember they're going over to Rages of Media. Okay, and who else goes along on that trip besides the angel and Tobias?
The dog.
Okay. All right. And they get over there. They go over there. And and before getting to Rages of Media, where do they get to first?
Anna's parents' place.
Are you sure?
Raphael's house.
Yes. Okay. Correct me, anyone, if I'm wrong here, but Raguel, and who's Raguel's wife? What? Where did it live, first of all? I'm going to have to ask someone else. Starts with an E.
Ekbatana.
Okay. Okay, and what's Raguel's wife's name?
Edna.
And their beautiful daughter, you know, Clayton. Sylvester. Micah.
Anna.
No, Tobit and Anna.
Sarah.
Sarah. Cain's spelled Sarah. Anyway. Okay. Say Tobit, Anna, Tobias, Rigel, and wife Edna, and Sarah. They live in Ecbatana. Got there before they got to Rages of Media. And who was the man that had Tobit's silver in Rages of Media? What was his name? Anyone?
Gabby.
Gabriel. Okay. All right. That's pretty much the names there. Gives you a little help you remember it a little bit. And now I'd like to pull out a map here. I was going to have to draw one, but one of the little girls said, "Daddy, we have one hanging up on the wall over here." So I was very thankful for that. Okay, let's see if I can put it on here a little better. Okay, you should be familiar with, some studies that you've done already, with how the map of Palestine and Israel looks. You know, we have this slanted hill here, it looks like, next to the Mediterranean Sea, and here is Israel, right in here, where God's people live. And then, over here we have Syria. We have Assyria. And where was Babylon? Someone help me out there. Babylon, over there. Remember, God's people were taken to the far east in Babylon. Way over there. To Babylon. When, what happened? Why were they taken there? Plague. Why were they carried to Babylon? God's people. It's why Tobit was living in Nineveh. Why was an Israelite living way over in Nineveh? They forsook the Lord and worshiped these awful idols. Make-believe gods. And so they were over there. And Tobit, the neat thing is we have these people in the Bible that in spite of all that, they stood up for what was right and they loved God. But they didn't say, "God, I was good. All my people did wrong, but I was good." They said, "God, we did this. They took it upon themselves and were humble and they tried to do what was right. And they were heroes. They're heroes of faith because everyone around them did wrong." And so he was over in Nineveh. Nineveh of Assyria. And other people were in Babylon. Now, in modern day, here, Nineveh is in Iraq. Do you see this little line I drew down through here? Here's a little line I drew down through here. Iraq is in this area. Iran is over here. And so here we have Mosul, which is Nineveh. Mosul, you've heard of that maybe on a map? Well, Mosul, where Tobit lived, is what was just taken back from ISIS. You've heard of ISIS? It was just taken back from ISIS back in July or something like that. And they're still fighting, there's still unrest there, but they're rebuilding. Back in September, I think the children just went back to school after being held by ISIS in Mosul. That's where Tobit lived. And okay, now here go Tobias. What was the angel's name?
Raphael.
Okay, Raphael. They go 444 miles by car over to Iran. They go over to Rages of Media. They're headed way over to Rages of Media. Now, it's further than that because Ecbatana is where they stopped. And that is what is 444 miles by car and 321 miles by plane from Mosul over to Iran or Media. And then they had to get on over to Gabiel in Ray or Rages of Media. It's now called Ray or Ray or something like that. R-H-E-Y. Just 5.5 miles south of Tehran, the capital of Iran. They had a long ways to go. No wonder they took the dog home. Good old faithful Jack or whatever his name was. And they went over there to get that because, you know, I think Tobit, he was a pauper now. He was poor. And they needed to get the little silver back. Go and ask him if he was finished with that silver or whatever. And on the way, they stopped at Ecbatana, which is Hamadan. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Hamadan, a city in Iran. The name of that city. And I put a little star there, more or less where it is in Iran. That's where they stopped. And Raphael knew about more captives. But family. I think the same tribe, wasn't it, as Tobit. And it was, what were their names? Raguel, and his wife, Edna, and daughter Sarah, lived over in Ecbatana, or Hamadan, Iran. So that's where it is. These God's people are far from their land, scattered, and they're still people serving God. In spite of having to be disciplined by God. So, there you get it. Any questions? Remember that it's normally 11 days' journey of if you're walking from Ecbatana to Rages of Media. Now, I don't remember the time what it said it took in Tobit. But these were long distances. And just remember when you're reading the Bible, it doesn't need to say the time exactly. The person that's telling a story is trying to do it to the best of his memory or what he heard. And it doesn't have to be exactly right for you going over there now and measuring it. That's not what we do with the Bible. Just try to carefully measure it all to make sure it's right. But that is a little bit of what? A little lesson there. Okay, well, let's read the Song of Tobit. Tobit exalts the Lord, chapter 13. And after all this, he can see now. And Tobit with exceeding joy wrote a prayer, saying, "Blessed is God who lives unto the ages, and blessed is his kingdom, for he scourges and is merciful. He brings down into Hades and leads up. There is no one who will escape his hand." So God doesn't just take people down, he lifts people up as well. And you know, when the children of Israel did wrong, they slapped God in the face. They just worshipped idols, ugly idols. Was God necessarily punishing them? Bring his big hand up, punishment down upon them? Or is there another word that would be sometimes better to use for God's dealing with his people's disobedience? Any other word you think of? Rage, yeah.
Merciful?
Or what is he? What could we say it is? In the Bible, remember it said, who the Lord loves, he what? chastens. So he chastens. Or what's another word for chastening?
Punish.
Well, punish. Now that's my question. Should we say that God's punishing? And it's all right. I use it too sometimes, that word. But often punishing is used as, I'm going to get you for what you did. I'm going to get you back. So enemies, they punish one another for every bad thing that is done back and forth. But what is it when God deals with his dear children?
Discipline.
Discipline. Hear that? Discipline. God disciplines. Who God disciplines? Who God loves, he disciplines. And it's in his love. So that's why he brings down into Hades, but he lifts up again. And it's not. It's going to talk about some more here. Verse 3. Give thanks to him before the nations, O children of Israel, for he scattered us from among them. Make known, he scattered us among them. See, they were scattered some in Ecbatana and some way back in Mosul, in Nineveh. Verse 4, make known his greatness there. Exalt him in the presence of all the living, for he is our Lord and God. He is our Father unto all the ages. He will scourge us for our wrongdoings. Is he going to just clobber us? Or is he scourging? Is he disciplining? But he will again have mercy and gather us from all the nations, wherever you were dispersed among them. If you return to him with all your heart, and with all your soul, to do the truth before him, then he will turn to you and not hide his presence from you. Behold for yourself what he will do for you. And give thanks to him fully with the organ of speech. Bless the Lord of righteousness and exalt the King of the ages. That sounds like someone's definition of the Psalms. Of the Psalms, what the organ and the harp and all that were. He said the organ of speech. That's God's natural organ he's given you. The organ of speech or of singing. Bless the Lord of righteousness. Exalt the King of the ages. Verse 8, in the land of my captivity I give thanks to him and make known his might and majesty to a nation of sinners. Be converted, you sinners, and do righteousness before him. Who knows if he will desire you and have mercy on you? Remember how people say, they say, I know I'm saved. I just know I'm saved. And I don't need to listen to the things you say that I should be doing. Well, it says, who knows if he will desire you and have mercy on you? After we ran away from God, should we say, God, you have to. You have to have me as your child. I know I'm your child. Look at Tobit. He says, who knows if he will desire you and have mercy on you? I exalt my God and my soul exalts the King of Heaven. And I will rejoice exceedingly in his majesty. Let all speak of his majesty and give thanks to him in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, the holy, holy city, he will scourge you for the deeds of your sons. And he will again show mercy to the sons of the righteous. Give thanks to the Lord with goodness and bless the King of the ages. That his tabernacle may be restored again to you in joy. May he rejoice in you, the captives. And may he love those who are distressed among you. Unto all generations forever. Many Gentiles will come from afar to the name of the Lord God, bearing gifts in their hands and offerings to the King of Heaven. Generations of generations will offer you joyful worship. Cursed are all who hate you. Blessed are all who love you forever. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad for the children of the righteous, for they will be gathered together. This is talking about the true Israel of God, I believe. They will be gathered together and will bless the Lord of the righteous. Blessed are those who love you. They will rejoice in your peace. Blessed are the many who grieved over your scourges, for they will rejoice when they see all your glory and will rejoice forever. Let my soul bless God, the great King. For Jerusalem will be built with sapphire and emerald, and her walls with precious stones, and her towers and battlements with pure gold. The streets of Jerusalem will be paved with pearl and onyx and stones from Ophir. All her streets will proclaim hallelujah and will give praise, and blessed is God, exalt you unto all the ages. Go back here and look. Look there, verse 13. Many Gentiles will come from afar to the name of the Lord God, bearing gifts in their hands and offerings to the King of Heaven. Generations of generations will offer you joyful worship. Who were the Gentiles from afar? Who are some of them? A few of them from afar who brought gifts in their hands? Raise your hand, verse. From afar they brought gifts in their hands, Gentiles, to worship.
Three wise men
did. And you see here, this was in the east. This is all in Israel. We kind of consider it in the east. And just look at this. We are over in the west. We are from maybe, probably Europe over here, and praise God that we could actually be called to Him after God placed His name there with Israel, and then He saw fit to come, send out missionaries and prophets to call us to also be a part of His goodness and be a part of the true people of Israel of God, those who obey Him from east and from west. Isn't that a blessing? So that all the more we should say, God, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve this at all. We weren't from Israel, straight from Abraham. Even Abraham didn't deserve it, right? Being called by God and to be His children, to come out from this world. And then verse 17, Jerusalem will be built. What Jerusalem is that? The Jerusalem that will be built with sapphire and emerald, or walls with precious stones, the Bible says. Her towers and battlements with pure gold. Streets paved with beryl, onyx, and stones from Ophir. Where is that, Sylvester? What Jerusalem is that? What's the Bible say where the streets be of gold? Yeah. Heaven. The what, Jerusalem? The old one?
The new Jerusalem.
The new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Okay. You have an assignment to give to us. But for next week, young and old. Tell us someone in the Bible who wrote a prayer or a hymn. It's recorded in the Bible. A prayer or a hymn after something big happened. After something big happened. They wrote a hymn to God. A prayer or a prophecy or something like that. And older ones, dig a little bit. Don't just grab the very first one that comes to your mind. So maybe leave that for some of the younger that that have a little difficulty remembering because their Bible knowledge is not stretched as far as. So, okay. God bless you.
We're supposed to think of a time when somebody went through something and it was cloudy and stuff, and then he realized afterwards that God had done something, made something good come out of it. And I thought about the Anabaptist preacher named Pearson Mueller, how his wife was going to get killed by the rulers. And so he went and started working for a miller. And the miller and his wife didn't know that he was didn't know who he was. And then after his wife had got killed, he told the miller who he was, and then they both turned into Christians.
Angel led Peter out of the prison, and the guards just slept through it, and the chains just fell off his hands. And then they went to the church where they were praying for him, and they opened up the door and let him in.
When the children of Israel, when the Israelites were running away from the Egyptians, they were really scared, and they were having a hard time. But here they didn't know that God was making it for good. They went and God was helping them and opened up the river for them. And then when it made it, when the Egyptians came, he made it go back.
I thought of when Lazarus died, Jesus delayed coming. And then later he told his disciples that he was glad that he hadn't been there to glorify God and that people would believe.
We had the same assignment. And at first, when the angels came to warn Lot to get out of the city, he didn't know they were angels. But he heeded their word and got out of the city and escaped.
I thought about Joseph. He got sold into Egypt, but he saved his family and the Israelites.
Peter didn't know all what was happening when he had the vision about the unclean animals and that he should eat them. And then God used his angels to get Cornelius and Peter together.
One time the king of Syria was attacking Israel, and we'd go to different cities and attack them, and they wanted to surprise the city. But here, every time when they go to a city, the city was already with armies ready to strike back. And every time they do that would happen. And so then the king found out of Syria found out that Elisha was telling the king of Israel where he was going to attack. So they went to the city of Dothan where Elisha was, and to kill him, to take him. And Elisha's servant went out and he saw all the armies around coming to get them. And so he went to Elisha and said, "What are we going to do? They're all coming to take us away." And Elisha said, "We have way more on our side than they have on theirs." And his servant didn't understand that. And so Elisha prayed, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant." And his eyes were opened and he saw around the mountains were just thousands of horses and chariots of fire. And then in a little while, God struck the armies around there with blindness. And Elisha went and led all the people to the king, to the city of the king, and then opened their eyes right in the middle of the city, and so they couldn't do anything.
I got in Luke 24 where the two disciples of Jesus were walking down the road in the city, and Jesus came up to them or talking to them, and they didn't know who that it was him, and there he was talking to them for a while, and finally he revealed to them who
he was, then he vanished from their sight.
Thinking of Joseph and his brother sold him into slavery, it was really hard for him to understand what happened. Why God was letting him do this, and years later, God used his brothers and him to save Egypt and his family. So
I got the same as Chad, how Joseph got sold into Egypt and was far away from his family, and he didn't know what was going to come out of it because he got put in jail for doing good, and then here at the end he realized that it was God's plan to feed the Egyptians.
I thought about Noah. He didn't know what was God in God's plan when God told him to build an ark. He just built the ark, had faith, and built the ark so God could just build the ark.
I thought of Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know if some of you may have read the story, but she had a sister. I forgot her name, but her sister was very trusting in God, and she believed that you should be thankful for everything, no matter what it is, that it comes from God allowing it for whatever reason. And this was during the Holocaust, I think, when Hitler was persecuting the Jews. And they were in a concentration camp with a bunch of other women, and there were a bunch of fleas. And Corrie Ten Boom's sister was thanking God for the fleas. And Corrie was like, "Why would you thank God for the fleas? This is ridiculous." But then it turns out that the fleas were a blessing because none of the guards wanted to come in there. And so they were free to pray to God and things that they wouldn't have been free to do if the guards would come in and keep them from doing that.